All right, Matthew chapter 5. I titled our lesson, Blessed Are the Poor in Spirit. Now, Matthew 5 begins with what we call the Beatitudes. It begins what we call our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, and he begins it with the Beatitudes. And the word blessed that he used, blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek. That word blessed means supremely blessed. It means supremely happy. Now, in these Beatitudes, the Lord is not telling us how to be saved. You don't have to do these things or adopt these attitudes in order to be saved. He's not telling us how to be saved. Salvation comes by faith, by believing the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord's not telling us how to be saved, and the Lord's not telling us how to live either. He's not telling us what a believer ought to be. In these Beatitudes, the Lord is telling us what a believer is by God's grace. These are the things that God has made his people to be. See, the Lord is pronouncing blessings that all of his people already have. All of his people are already blessed with these things. So the Beatitudes are the evidences of salvation. These are the blessings that God gives his people when he saves them. It's part of the new nature that he gives them and the new birth. And you'll notice that these blessings, these Beatitudes, are all in the present tense. It's not what you're going to have someday. It's what the believer has right now in Christ. And it's very important for us to understand this, that the people who are blessed of God are not the people we naturally think that they are. God's blessings are always, in every case, the opposite of what we think by nature. We think the rich are blessed. That's what we think. Somebody that can just go out and afford to buy anything, that's a blessed person. You know what God says? Blessed are the poor in spirit. We think people who are happy and are laughing are blessed. People who are dancing through life, that's the blessed people. God said people who mourn are blessed. We think the bold and the confident, they're blessed, we think. You know what God says? God says the meek are blessed. We think folks who are full and who need nothing, we think that's the blessed person, the blessed man, the blessed woman. God says the empty are blessed. The hungry and thirsty are blessed. We think people who are powerful, who are in charge, who can do anything they want, we think that's the blessed man. God says the persecuted are blessed. In every instance, it's the opposite of what this flesh thinks, isn't it? And I pray our Lord will teach us this grace in the heart. Not just something in the head, but grace in the heart. And Lord willing, in the next few weeks, it's my intention, after looking at the first of these Beatitudes anyway, to bring one message on each of them. And today we'll look at blessed are the poor in spirit. Now it's beautiful to me how this message of God's grace begins. Verse 1, Matthew 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Now the Lord went up into a mountain to bring his message, the Sermon on the Mount, to teach his grace. He went up into a mountain to do this. I think that's significant. I remember another time God spoke from a mountain, don't you? God spoke from Mount Sinai, and he gave the law. And on that mountain, Mount Sinai, the curse of the law was pronounced upon men. And men ran from that mountain, didn't they? They ran away from it in fear. They told Moses, don't let God talk to us. Let God talk to you. You come back and talk to us. But in this mountain, the blessings of grace are going to be pronounced from the lips of the Son of God himself, and his people were drawn to him. They came to him. And if I can tell you one more time, you come to Christ. Come to Christ. These folks came unto him, and they were blessed. And if we'll come to Christ, we will be too. Now, verse 2, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, you'll notice the Lord doesn't say, blessed are the poor. He's not talking about financial poverty here. He's talking about spiritual poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, in attitude. David was a wildly wealthy man, wasn't he? How many times did David say, I'm poor and needy? I'm poor and needy. Even though he was the richest man on earth, he said, I'm poor and needy. You have false religion. Talks about how to get rich financially, don't they? They talk about things of this flesh. I have more of the things of this flesh. And in relation to this ship, in relation to this thing of poverty, they talk about how to get rich financially. They talk about how to be full of the stuff of this world. And they say, now God's blessed you if you're rich. If you're rich. You want God to bless you? They say, give to me. You know, and I'll be rich and then God will make you. They say that's God's blessing. But what does the gospel do? Does the gospel give you riches in this life? If you hear the gospel, let me tell you the very first thing the gospel does. The very first thing. The gospel strips you. Leaves you naked, poor, and needy. Spiritually. Because the gospel never deals with the external. Ever. The gospel deals with the internal. When the gospel speaks of riches, it doesn't talk about riches of this life that's going to get all burned up anyway. It talks about riches of God's grace in the heart. Now, the Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And you might think, well, then he's pronouncing a blessing on all sons of Adam because all men and women are spiritually poor, aren't they? And that's true. All men, all of us here are spiritually poor. But you know, all men are not poor in spirit. We're ruined in Adam. The problem is most men don't know it. Those who are poor in spirit know it. They know that they don't have anything. They know they're spiritually bankrupt. And those people who don't have anything, those people who are spiritually bankrupt, have zero. God says those people are blessed. They're blessed. The poor in spirit have nothing. They don't have anything spiritually. They don't have any merit at all. There's no reason found in them. They can't find any reason. When they look at themselves, they can find absolutely no reason God would do something for them. That Pharisee in the temple, when he prayed, he found something in himself that he thought God, you know, God ought to bless me. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes. I give alms. But the poor in spirit can't see any reason at all in themselves that God would do anything for them. They have a sin debt and they can't do anything to pay for it. They can't even help to pay for it. The poor in spirit have no willingness to come to Christ. They're empty of willingness to come to Christ, and they're empty of any ability to come to Christ. Our Lord said, you cannot come to me, and you will not come unto me. There's no willingness, and there's no ability to come to Christ. The poor in spirit don't have any righteousness, and they don't have any good works by which they can earn any righteousness. The poor in spirit cannot love God. They don't have the ability. They love themselves. They love the God of their imagination, but they don't love the true and living God. They can't believe on Christ. They have no ability to make themselves believe on Christ. Try as they might, they cannot repent. The poor in spirit have nothing. But you know, a better description of the poor in spirit would be to say they are nothing. The poor in spirit have nothing because they are nothing. And you think, that's a blessed person? Yes, it is. The poor in spirit have nothing. That's the blessed person. The poor in spirit who have nothing and are nothing are blessed of God because they are the only people in this world who need Christ. If you need Christ, oh, you're a blessed person. Oh, you're a blessed person. And in a sentence, the poor in spirit are blessed because they have no hope and are without Christ in this world. And those are the only people who will come to Christ begging for mercy. And the poor in spirit understand the meaning of the word importunity. You might remember a few weeks ago, Elder Eric Floyd wrote an article on importunity. I said, if you don't know what that means, go and read the article. You'll find out what it means. Well, the poor in spirit may have never heard of the word importunity, but the poor in spirit know this, I'm not going to quit begging. And that's importunity. Just, I won't quit begging. I won't quit begging. I won't quit calling for mercy. I won't quit calling upon Christ because he is my only hope. And I tell you, a good illustration, there's several good illustrations of that in Scripture, but the one that came to my mind was blind Bartimaeus. There sat blind Bartimaeus begging. And he couldn't see, but he heard. He heard something. He heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Blind Bartimaeus couldn't see him. He didn't know where he was, but he cried out for mercy. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And they said, shh, blind Bartimaeus, this is a dirty, stinky, smelly beggar. We're ashamed. We don't want Jesus to see this homeless man in our town. You know, we want to make our town look good and spruced up. You just be quiet, stay out of sight, and we'll give you a few quarters later on. Importunity is this, he cried all the louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He wouldn't shut up. You know why? Jesus of Nazareth was his only hope. He was poor in spirit. And what happened to him? He was, of all those people in Jericho, I know of two men that were blessed, Zacchaeus and blind Bartimaeus. The Lord gave him sight. I want to give you seven reasons why the poor in spirit are blessed of God. Number one is this. The poor in spirit are blessed of God because God's made them poor in spirit. It's not something that they did on their own. God had to make them poor in spirit. Like I said, most people don't know they're poor in spirit, do they? The only people who know that they're poor in spirit are people that God's made to be poor in spirit. You know, by nature, we think we are really something, don't we? I mean, we really do. We think we're something. False religion is full of people who are trying to please God, who think that they can. And you know why they think they can? They got a dead nature. We actually think by nature we can do something to make God happy with us so he'll save us, so he'll bless us. And we've got to become nothing before God will ever bless us. And the only way we'll be nothing is if God makes us nothing. And I tell you how he does it. It's by the word power. You remember the story of creation? There was nothing. Nothing. Just nothing in the blackness of space. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let the dry land appear. God said, let the animals appear. God said, let the plants grow. And it was so. God created everything from nothing. There wasn't something there and he refashioned it into the world that we live in. There was nothing. And God spoke, and suddenly it was something. Well, by nature, we think we're something. And the only way something's going to become nothing is if God in his power speaks. Speaks by the power of his word and makes us nothing. And if somebody knows that they're nothing, that's a blessed man and a blessed woman. Because God's made them to be that. Number two, the poor in spirit are blessed because Christ is everything. He's everything. The poor in spirit, they can't do anything. Well, they're going to be blessed because Christ will do everything for them. He'll do everything God requires. The poor in spirit don't have anything. And they're going to be blessed because Christ will be everything for them. The poor in spirit, they know that they are spiritually bankrupt. They're poor. But Christ, they're blessed because Christ fills them with the riches of his grace. The poor in spirit don't have any merit of their own. And they're blessed because God accepts them in the merit of his Son. The poor in spirit don't have anything to help pay for their sin. And they're blessed because Christ pays it all with his precious blood. The poor in spirit had no willingness to come to Christ and no ability to come to Christ. And that's the blessed person, the blessed man, the blessed woman, because the Holy Spirit's going to make them willing in the day of his power. And he'll irresistibly draw them to Christ. They won't be able to stay away from him. The poor in spirit don't have any righteousness or any good works. And they're blessed. Because God's going to make them the righteousness of God in Christ, and they're going to perform the good works whereunto he has ordained them. The poor in spirit can't love God. And they're blessed. They're blessed when God sheds abroad his love in their hearts. The poor in spirit cannot believe on Christ. Try as they might, they cannot make themselves believe on Christ. And that's a blessed person. Because you know what God does for them? Gives them the gift of faith. Lets them see Christ. The poor in spirit can't repent. And I tell you this often, repentance is a whole lot more than just being sorry. And God does give His people a spiritual sorrow over sin. And try as we might, we can't feel any sorrow about our sin. We love it. I mean, it's what a hypocrite to talk about how sorry we are about our sin. Not by nature, we're not. But repentance is more than being sorry. It's a turning. Repentance is turning. It's a radical turning. It's turning 180 degrees to the opposite of everything you used to think. We can't turn like that. And God blesses His people and gives them the gift of repentance. He turns them 180 degrees. He turns them from their idols to Christ, to serve the true and the living God. And they believe everything the exact opposite of what they used to believe. They used to think they are something. Now they know they're nothing. They used to think that they could do something to make God happy with them. Now they know their only hope is Christ. And they turn to Him. God gives them the gift of repentance. The poor in spirit are nothing. Absolutely nothing. And God makes them to be something. You know how He makes them to be something? By putting them in His Son. Giving them union with His Son. Putting them in the body of Christ. Now I would venture to say that everybody here knows the doctrines of grace. We all know the 5 points of Calvinism. And I tried to remember when it was that I learned the 5 points of Calvinism. And I couldn't remember. I know I learned them at some point, but just as far as my mind can remember, those things are what I always know. I've always memorized those things. Brother Henry said one time, Frank's always known the 5 points of Calvinism. He'd been a good Calvinist a long time. He could recite the 5 points of Calvinism going down his head backward at midnight. And that's true. You too. But the 5 points of, I hate to say the 5 points of Calvinism, what we call the doctrines of grace. This is the gospel. John Calvin didn't come up with it. He may have put it in 5 points, but this is the gospel. And these things are not just doctrine to the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit have no ability. They cannot choose God. I need God to choose me. See, that's the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit have nothing. They can't pay for any of theirs. They can't even help pay for it. They can't have less sin than somebody else. So I need Christ to pay for my sin. And I need Him to do it for me specifically. I don't need Him to just die for me to give me a chance to be saved. I need Him to die for me specifically to put my sin away, because I'm poor in spirit and that's my only hope of salvation. The poor in spirit have no ability. They cannot come to Christ. So I'll tell you what I need. I need God to draw me to Christ irresistibly. So I must come to Him. The poor in spirit can't keep themselves. So I need God to keep me by the power of His grace. And I'll tell you when a sinner is going to be saved. When that doctrine stops being doctrine in the head and starts being my need in the heart. That's when a sinner is saved. All right, thirdly, the poor in spirit are blessed, because the poor in spirit are the only thing that God's done anything for. God has mercy on the poor in spirit, and He brings them. He puts them in the kingdom of heaven. He says, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we've looked at that last couple of weeks about Christ going preaching the kingdom of heaven and how it is that a sinner is put into that kingdom. Well, the poor in spirit are blessed because God's put them into that kingdom. And I tell you this. Now, the kingdom of heaven is not heaven. It's God's church. It's God's people. But nobody's going to end up being in heaven who is not poor in spirit on this earth. And I can show you that in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. No one is going to be saved. No one is going to be in the kingdom of heaven, in the body of Christ, until they are poor in spirit. In Matthew 19, verse 23, you know this is the story of the rich young ruler. And after he went away, then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now he's not talking about somebody who's rich in this world's goods. He's talking about somebody who's rich in spirit, who thinks he's still got something. It might not be much, but he thinks he's got something that's worthwhile. He thinks he's got something that will commend him to God. And it is impossible. It's not just unlikely that that man enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not just hard for him to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's impossible. The Lord's not speaking in a picture here. You know, some people say this eye of a needle, they had one of the gates in Jerusalem, one of the cities, looked like the eye of a needle, like an oval. And they could teach these camels how to get down on their knees and scoot through there to get into the city. It was hard for them to do, but they could be taught to do it. That's not what the Lord's saying there. He's talking about I don't know how much a camel weighs. We'll say it's a ton. A one-ton camel going through the eye of a needle that you sew with. If I held up a needle, you couldn't even see the eye. It's impossible for that animal to fit through the eye of a needle. And it is impossible for a rich person that thinks they've got something, anything to commend them to God. It is utterly impossible for them to be saved. It's impossible. But what a blessing if God makes us poor in spirit. If He makes us to be nothing. If He makes us a beggar before God, because God will save that person. There's no greater blessing than for Almighty God to save us and put us in His kingdom. That's a blessing. And Bob, we might suffer some between now and then. We're talking about that. We might. We might try not to complain about it, but we might suffer some between now and then. But that's a blessed person. That God has saved him. He has mercy on them. All right, fifth, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The poor in spirit are blessed because Christ died for the poor in spirit. And He only died for the poor in spirit. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. The Lord Jesus Christ made His poor, poverty-stricken people to be rich. And He did it by the blood of His sacrifice. When Christ was made sin for His people, He was made poor. He was made poor for His people. He took their poverty away from them and put it into His own body upon the tree. He was made poor. I want to be so careful now saying this. He was made poor in righteousness. He called Himself a worm. When He cried, "I thirst," He wasn't talking about water. He was talking about the same thing David talked about when David said, "I hunger and thirst after righteousness." He had been emptied of His righteousness and made sin for His people. He became poor in love. He felt none of the Father's love, but He felt all the Father's wrath against the sin of His people. He became poor in fellowship, union with His Father. He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" He was separated from His Father for sin. Christ became poor, and He suffered and died so that He could make His people rich. His people are poor in righteousness. They have no righteousness at all, and He made them the righteousness of God. And He made them perfectly right. He gave them all righteousness. His people have no love, and He gave His people the riches of His love. He made them loved in Him, so we're accepted in the Beloved. And He gave His people union with Him and fellowship with the Father so that they'll never be separated from God again. Blessed are the poor in spirit because Christ died for them to make them rich. All right, here's the sixth thing. Look at Matthew chapter 11. The poor in spirit are blessed because Christ is preached to the poor in spirit. Now, many people may hear the gospel, but I'll tell you who hears it, who the preaching is sent to, who God will apply that preaching to the heart. It's the poor in spirit. Matthew 11, verse 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. Now all those things, those are miracles, aren't they? What a miracle that somebody is blind. The Lord touches them or just speaks and they receive them. Suddenly they see. What a miracle. What a miracle that the deaf hear. I saw a video this week of an infant baby born deaf. And they fixed that kid up with hearing aids, just an infant, put these hearing aids. And I watched that child's face the first time he ever heard his mother's voice. Oh, I was so thrilled. I mean, I don't even know who this is, but it just thrilled me. The master didn't put a hearing aid in anybody's ears. He gave him a hearing ear. What a miracle. The lepers are cleansed. There's still no cure for leprosy. And the Lord cured them. And the dead. Lord went to a funeral and raised somebody up from the casket. What a miracle. You want to hear a miracle that's equal to that? The poor have the gospel preached unto them. There's just no words. Gene, in his prayer, thank God he gave us a place. We can hear the gospel preached. That's a miracle. What a miracle. And if we hear it, if we see Christ, if we believe that Christ is, oh, what a miracle. The Lord Jesus Christ is our greatest need. I don't care what it is you think you need. And we all need things. And I'm not saying you don't need them. We need food and clothes and shelter and all these things, you know. But our single need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God in His mercy causes Christ to be preached to the poor and the needy. Aren't you thankful? The poor in spirit. And then last, the poor in spirit are blessed. Because only the poor in spirit have power in prayer. The poor in spirit have good reason to pray, and Almighty God will hear their prayer. I want to show you just a few scriptures on this in the Psalms. Psalm 34. The poor in spirit have power in prayer. Remember, the Lord told that demoniac, you go home and you tell your family and your friends what great things the Lord's done for you. That's what David does here, Psalm 34, verse 6. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. And if you're poor in spirit and cry, the Lord will hear you and save you too. All right, Psalm 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. The Lord thinks upon the poor and the needy. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. And I tell you this, if you're poor and needy, He won't delay to come to you. He won't delay to hear you. All right, Psalm 69. Verse 32. The humble shall hear this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God, for the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. The Lord always hears the poor in spirit. They're going to hear him and be glad. Now, if you're poor in spirit, you cry out to him, and you'll live. Your soul will live. Right across the page, one last reference here, Psalm 70, verse 4. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O my God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Lord, don't hear me and run to me. Make no tarrying to come to me and help me because I'm any good. David's not saying, Lord, help me because I've done this, that, or the other for you. He's saying, here's the only reason that you should hear me. Here's the only reason you should make no tarrying to come and deliver me, because I'm poor and needy. And the Lord always will. Always. So indeed, the poor in spirit are the blessed, aren't they? Oh, may God make us to be poor and needy. All right. Lord bless you.